With me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading, which is the Song of Solomon, chapter 2. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us, the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Until the day break, and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, again, we have a division among the commentators regarding who exactly is speaking when in this chapter, especially at the beginning. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. Okay, so I think the best understanding there is that the bridegroom, Christ, begins in chapter 2. He speaks of himself. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. The lily among the thorns. Let me ask you something, beloved. When you think of Christ's view of the church, is that what you think of? That Christ beholds his bride as a lily among thorns. That, well, there's maybe a few hours of meditation there to think on the great affection that Christ has for his bride, that he would picture her in this appellation here, the lily among the thorns. This is indeed the great grace and love of Christ to his people. He, for his part, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. And so notice that he calls upon his bride that she is as the lily among the thorns. He is the lily of the valleys. She is the lily among the thorns. There is a correspondence there. Well, we could go a long time speaking about Christ's incarnation here and how he styles himself in the same kind of name that he would use for his bride. That he is indeed like as we are. He is our great high priest. He is a lily, and so is she. All right, so then the grace of Christ clothes his bride in beauty. She is desirable to him as a lily. She is found among thorns, like a lily in the wilds, and she is taken from common stock. It is his love that gives her that beauty that abides upon her. The bride now speaks, extolling her husband as an apple among the trees, sweet, desirable, attractive, fragrant. She is under his protection. He brings shade. He brings fruit. He brings nourishment, feeding, supply. He is a good husband. He provides from the depths of his love for her, and he completely encircles and protects her, comforting her. And then she continues, I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love till he please. This is a very difficult phrase to understand, although it does recur throughout the book. My understanding of it is, speaking to the daughters of Jerusalem, that they ought not to do anything that would cause the bridegroom to depart. They ought not to stir him up. They ought not to awaken him or to stir him up again against his pleasure. So I think that's what's being said there. That we are to understand. I was talking with one of you during the break, and we agreed on this phrase that the Lord doesn't owe us that he should love us. The Lord doesn't owe us that he should forgive us. We do not add any pleasure to him. If we add pleasure to the Lord, if we give him something, if we have something to offer him, he's no longer God. He does not owe to us that regeneration, that we should get, opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. He doesn't owe that to us at all. Rather, we should be careful not to stir him up against his pleasure. Right? So that, I think, is what is being said here. All right, so then in verse 8, she hears the sound of her beloved leaping on the mountains and skipping on the hills. And note that she cannot but stop and praise her beloved. He is like the roe. He is like the young hart. He is seen here. He is seen there. He is swift. He is strong. He is agile. He is all of those things and more. My dear brothers and sisters, let us rise at the proper times to give praise to our King, to our head and husband, Christ. Let us speak highly of him. Let our mouths be filled with his praise. Like it says toward the end of the Psalter, let the high praises of God be upon the lips of the people of God. Notice that the bride cannot cease to speak well of her bridegroom here. And what is the word of the Lord to a bride that praises him like that? Rise up, my fair one, my dove, and come with me. Come away. Let us go. Let us go together. Let us never part one from another. The spring has come. The winter is past. And so what is he saying there? The opportunity is ripe. The opportunity is now. Come, my dear one. Come, my love. Come, my dove. Away with me. Then verse 14, he continues, O my dove that are in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Again, we have a disparity among commentators, whether or not we have the bride speaking or the bridegroom speaking. Well, my view, God put it out there. My view is that this is the bridegroom speaking to the bride, and she is in the place of straits. She's in the clefts of the rock. She's not found where she would normally be, in the wide places under protection. There are times when the church does come under difficulty. And so notice what she is to do at that time. She is to show her face to her beloved. She is not to remain hidden from him in the clefts of the rock. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. The prayers of the people of God are sweet to Christ. Let us take the foxes, the little foxes, that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Of course, those foxes often in Scripture are put for the mischievous ones, those who are spoiling the vines. And of course, vines are often a picture in Scripture of what? The people of God. Jesus uses that in John 15. Isaiah uses it in Isaiah chapter 5. And so there are among the vines little foxes that spoil them. Let us take them. Let us take them away. Let us purge the vines. Let us make that vine a pure vine then. And so with that then, the bride responds and she says, my beloved is mine and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies until the day break and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like the roe or young hart upon the mountains of Bether. And so this season then of being apart from one another, when she is among the clefts of the rock, that must have its terminus. It must have its end. And so here comes the bridegroom once again, leaping upon the mountains. She has showed her face to him, and she finds him once again as that hart or young roe leaping toward her and bringing her out from her distresses or calamities. And that ends the chapter. Song of Solomon, chapter 2.